what Caleb and I are going to share today is a little bit about what's going to take place in October, and we want to invite everyone in this room to come, and we hope everyone in this room will make plans to be at our annual men's retreat in October. It's the first week in October. I believe it's the 4th through the 6th. Is that right? Yeah, October 4th through the 6th. That's Thursday through Saturday. And we're going to a brand new place that the men have never been. And so that's what we wanted to talk about today, is we are going to a retreat location in near Lynch, Kentucky. And there are a couple reasons that we've chosen Lynch, Kentucky, the leaders have this year. If you remember a couple years ago when Hurricane Matthew came through the shore at the weekend of our retreat, we got detoured to Ridgecrest. And I know there's a lot of the guys that are here this morning that were at that retreat in Ridgecrest. And I think everyone would agree we had a great time there, just as much of a great time as we normally have at the beach. And so the conversation had begun that, hey, what about maybe alternating years where we pick a beach location to satisfy that crowd, and then for those in the room that prefer the mountains over the beach, or at least as much one to the other, then we'll pick a mountain location. And so we wanted to try to do that. The challenge is the mountain locations are kind of pricey for the most part. So last year we were at the beach, so this year would be the mountain year if we wanted to try to do that. And this location is in the mountains. It's beautiful, it's great, and it's very inexpensive. So don't hold me to it yet, but we are thinking that Caleb and I need to finish some of the details of it, but we're thinking that we can probably keep the cost per person in the $50 to $60 range rather than our normal $75 range, because our accommodations are a lot less expensive. Nice, but a lot less expensive than what we normally have at the beach or Ridgecrest. So that's one reason why we chose the Lynch, Kentucky. The second reason, and this is what we're going to get into today, is there are great ministry opportunities up there. And so one of the things that our hope, as the elders' hope and the leaders' hope here at Antioch, would be that If we go up there as a group of men, some of us would catch a vision for ministry with our families up in that area, or ministry as a church body in that area that we would go back to at different times of the year, that this would begin maybe a relationship up there where we can help the people in that community. And we'll talk a little bit about the greater needs that are there in just a second. So as we're listening, the challenge is, don't just think, hey, we're going to have fun in October. We are going to have fun in October, but the bigger picture is this is an opportunity where we can serve Christ, and we can, I think we would all know and understand the impact that it made on our entire church body, especially those that went with some of the house building trips we did last year into Mexico. And this is another thing along that vein, but it's a little bit closer to us, it's less expensive, and it can involve more people, and not just those that are have an aptitude for construction and so forth. There's other opportunities. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Caleb. He's going to talk a little bit about the camp that we're going to be at, and then I'll come back up and talk about the ministry side of it.
We planned our outfits this morning too, just to make sure we're on the same page. Yeah, so Lynch, Kentucky. Lynch, Kentucky, if you left this parking lot and drove straight there, it'd take 4.5 hours. So it's about an hour longer than what you normally face going to the beach, but it is one of the most beautiful drives, in my opinion, that you can take. It basically takes you through northern North Carolina and then through Virginia, West Virginia. You kind of skirt the Tennessee border a little bit. It's just a gorgeous drive. So I'm going to kind of talk to you about where we're staying today. We are going to be staying at a place called Shekinah Village. This is in Partridge, Kentucky, which is about 5 to 10 minutes outside of downtown Lynch, probably 10 minutes outside of Lynch. And this is, I think Scott will kind of cover a little bit, but I'll kind of tell you what this is. It's basically a retreat center that a place called Maritza Ministries created. They created it for families to be able to come, for youth groups to be able to come, for men and women's retreats to happen there. And so God basically gave them this land, and so they built cabins and bunkhouses and that kind of thing on this land. It's a gorgeous piece of land. There's a man named Drew And he's the one that, I think it's Drew that runs this. Chad runs the state. Okay. Chad, he runs this place called Shekinah Village. He is currently a single guy. His wife, 3 years ago probably, 2 or 3 years ago, passed away from cancer. And so he's kind of had a couple really hard years of dealing with that. But he's one of the godliest, most humble men that you'll ever meet. And he will be with us kind of overseeing the weekend. He'll hopefully be able to share his testimony. He has just an incredible testimony of what brought him to this place, him and his wife. And unfortunately, she was not able to see the completion of this village. But really, where we're going was her vision of what she wanted this place to be. And so he carried that through and was able to finish it out after she passed away. So where we're actually going to be staying is on a place right on the lake. I think it's called Payday. We'll have a picture later, but Payday Lake. And it is a bunkhouse that sits right on the lake. So you'll see that's the bunkhouse there. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful setting. This place sits right in a valley, surrounded on all four sides by mountains. And it's just gorgeous. So just kind of walk you through what this looks like, just so you know where you're going to staying. We are going to get we're going to kind of do a little bit like what the women have done, where we are going to assign rooms in a way. So be ready for that. You might not, not beds, but rooms. Yeah. The color of every room is brown, so you're just going to have to deal with that if that's an issue. So here we go. Going inside the bunkhouse, this is the main living room. It's got a working wood fireplace, just a beautiful area. So that is one. Basically, when you walk in, the room is a long rectangle, the first room you walk into. So when you walk in, the living room is on your left, and on the right is the kitchen. It's got a very large kitchen with a big commercial gas stove, a commercial refrigerator, a coffee bar. So we will be able to prepare our own meals like we normally do. I did have a question from Nathan about that today. I would recommend, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but because this is a very poor area, we want to do as much as we can to kind of push some money into their economy while we're there. So there's a place similar to our Food Lines that is in Lynch, Kentucky. So my recommendation is that we buy most of our food and supplies down there and to help their economy out and not bring it from home. So that would be my recommendation. That's something we can talk about as we go, but we will be set up to where we can cook all our meals and have plenty of space for storage and that kind of thing. So if you're standing in the kitchen looking back toward the living room, again, it's a long rectangular room. They have these custom-built wooden tables here that we'll be able to kind of flip around and just, if we want, just put in a really long circle. I think they have five or six of them, I believe. So this room is where all of our meetings will take place, where all of our meals will be. So it's plenty big enough that we could have 50 to 60 guys eat in here as well as have our meetings and that type of thing. The room situation. So in the bunkhouse, there are two large bunk rooms and then two private rooms upstairs. So we'll start with the bunk rooms. Each bunk room sleeps 14 people per bunk room. So here's one thing we are going to do. When you get there, there will be a sign on one door that is designated as the room for people that snore. And then the other room is designated for the people that do not snore.
You have to have a sign that day from your wife.
Yeah, you need to, you need to tell your wife.
And bring your earplugs regardless.
Yes, I would recommend, because we may have to have some non-snorers with the snorers, that kind of thing. So bring earplugs. But it is very comfortable. Every single bunk room has three bathrooms per room. So on the ground level floor, there are six bathrooms total, and then two more bathrooms upstairs, each with one with a private room. So there is a private room upstairs with its own bathroom on one side and another private room on the other side. Those will probably be designated for particular people based on your age, most likely. So keep that in mind. Yeah, now we're getting excited, right? All right. So, yeah, that's the bunkhouse. That's where most of us will be staying. That's where all of our meetings and meals will happen.
And it's just a beautiful, beautiful area. It's actually all the materials and all the labor are donated by church groups similar to us. There were people that came up and they stayed in Lynch, and then during the day they went to Shekinah Village and they built the bunkhouses, they built all the cabins, and they donated all the material. So it's really a work of love, and they are just very, very grateful, very blessed for this beautiful facility that people can meet in. Now, moving outside, again, you're sitting right on a lake, and surrounding the lake are, I think, five cabins, I believe. So there are five cabins, I think, four cabins. Two of them are two-bedroom cabins. One of them is a single-bedroom cabin. So we will be utilizing some of those, depending on our numbers. But again, those will be designated for people of a certain age. So that we will assign those cabins to certain people. So moving outside, you can see one cabin sitting right in front of you. Over to the left behind the willow tree you can see a deck. That deck is connected to another cabin. But basically, they're all four of them are within about 100 yards of the bunkhouse on the other side of the lake. So it's a very quick walk, but it's a beautiful scenery. So again, some people are staying in these, and just kind of give you an idea. They do have their own bedrooms, their own bathrooms, their own kitchens, and their own living spaces. So if we do, as far as cooking our meals, if we need to branch out and utilize the kitchens in these cabins as well, we can do that and just kind of bring the food over afterwards. So again, that's the idea. All right, so those are our living spaces. As far as the grounds themselves and what you can do while you're there, we're going to kind of get into that a little bit. Pay Lake is where we're staying. You can kind of see the corner of the bunkhouse on the right and then a cabin on the left. So basically, it goes to the gazebo, which is at the very end, and there's a little driveway and a ditch there, and on the other side is more lake at this big or bigger. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful setup. There is plenty of fishing in this lake. I don't know if they do this anymore, but within the last couple years, they used to have a yearly bass fishing tournament in this lake. So there's a lot of bass in this lake. As far as what they've caught recently, I was there this past April, I think, talking to Chad, and he said in February, I believe, somebody pulled a 65-pound catfish out of this lake. So you can imagine how big that is. Then last December, somebody pulled like a 26-inch bass out of this lake, which is a pretty good-sized bass. So there is plenty of fishing. If for those that like to fly fish, you can fish in the lake, obviously, but where the cabin is on the left, if you walk about 100 yards past it, there's a river that completely surrounds the property, runs all through the property. And my understanding, there are places on the river where there is pretty good trout fishing. So those that like to fly fish, there are places in the area where you can do that. So keep that in mind as well. As far as kayaks, it's not a very wide lake. It's more a very long lake. You can bring kayaks, though. We had a question about that. But there's also other places you can kayak, either down the river if you have somebody that can pick you up later, or there's another lake, yeah, or you just find your way back. no, it runs pretty strong. It's not very wide, but it runs pretty strong.
What about license?
That's something I haven't looked up, but it was probably something. There are places in the area. Yeah, now this is private, so it doesn't matter. The river and the other lake, you probably are going to want a license, but yeah, there are places there you can get one. There is very... Yeah, there's very little police or ranger. I mean, it's kind of like the Wild West a little bit. You just got to do what you want, pretty much. And not worry about whose property you're on. All right, so one of the other areas, there is a massive, massive field, flat field, so obviously a fire pit in it. The guy that runs the stables, his house is in the very back there. You can see his wife and his kids live there, so they'll be on the property as well. This picture was taken standing about in the middle of this field. So the field is big enough that you could have football, volleyball, ultimate frisbee, and maybe soccer at the same time. It is massive. I don't know, you might be able to see the poles in front of his house. They do have a full regulation size soccer net, for though there is that option. I'll have to check with them. I think they have their own volleyball net, so we can set that up as well. But, and then of course, they have plenty of firewood and this pretty great fire pit here. So after our meetings at night, if we want to come out, have some time around the fire, we can do that as well. So keep that in mind. And with that, in this field, as far as the living area is concerned, we do have opportunity. Anyone that wants to, you can bring tents if you'd rather sleep in a tent that weekend instead of in a bunkhouse or in a cabin. There is tons of room for tents to be set up, hammocks if you want. So that is something we'll probably get a number as to how many people would like to do that instead of stay in the cabins. That's an option if you want that. It's very similar to North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, so it does. Especially early October, it's not getting. It's similar to like Boone in North Carolina. It's about the same elevation. So yeah, it's pretty reasonable in early October. I'd imagine 70 degree days during the day and low 60s, maybe high 50s at night, but nothing terrible. All right, as far as I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. The only other thing to look at is kind of the recreational side of what you can do. Some of these things are paid, obviously. We will get into the stables, but basically right next to Shekinah Village on the other side of the creek is a massive stable with 25 to 30 horses or something like that that one of the other guys runs. That will be available to us, but obviously most of that is for pay as far as taking trail rides and that kind of thing. Based on my memory of the sign they had set up outside the stable, I think it's $25 for 2 hours, but it might be $15 for 2 hours. But I couldn't find anywhere online their pricing. But basically, Drew will take you on the horses all throughout the mountains. It's a beautiful, beautiful setup. And so if you want to do that, if you want to bring a little extra cash and do that one day, Friday afternoon or sometime on Saturday or Thursday, that will be available to you, so you can keep that in mind. As far as at Shekinah Village itself, a few of the options they have a game room. The game room, when I was there, had ping pong, foosball, air hockey, and then somebody was going to donate them a pool table that they thought would be there by the time we got there, but I'm not confident about that, but that was what was supposed to happen. That is enclosed, air-conditioned, heated, and it's pretty close to the bunkhouse. So that's an option that will be there. There's a shooting range. So you can rent one of their guns, or you can just bring some of your own with your own ammo. Regardless, you have to pay for the ammo if you don't bring your own. So I'd recommend bringing your own. It's a pretty large range as far as if you're wanting to use handguns or rifles. On the rifle range, the longest target they have is 320 yards. So that is, quite a challenge, but that's something you want to, maybe we can have a little competition to see if anybody can hit that target. So that's something, that, I'm not sure about the pay, because if you bring your own weapons, I don't know that you will have to pay anything. I don't think you will, but we can find out about that. The other thing they have set up, or they can set up for groups, is a 3-day archery course that takes you through the woods near the property. You can rent their bows. They have some there, or you can bring your own. So if that's something that anyone likes to do, enjoys doing, we can have that set up throughout the woods and, again, have a competition of a 3D archery course on the property. And the last thing is the ATV trails. They have tons of them that go off this property. There's one that goes all the way to downtown Lynch, which he said is about a round trip. It's about a two-hour ride on a four-wheeler. Or on a dirt bike. Again, these are not items that they have, but you are free to bring them if you have them, if you want to bring them. And again, there are tons of places in the area for dirt bikes and four-wheelers if you would like to bring that. So that is an option for anyone that wants. All right, so that is Shekinah Village. That's where we're going to be staying. And just want to go over three other places that are within 5 to 10 minutes of this area. places that we can see set up. We may be able to set up kind of group tours and that kind of thing. So there are some tourist attractions nearby. This is actually, if you're standing on the deck of the bunkhouse, this is your view at night. The sun sets right over the mountains in front of you. So again, it's honestly one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. It's one of my favorite places in the world right now. It's gorgeous. All right, Kingdom Come State Park. This is the state park that is right next to Lynch, Kentucky. It's actually right in between Shekinah Village and Lynch. It's about 5 minutes from the village. It's similar to like your Pilot Mountain. So basically, there is a parking lot at the very top of the mountain. So you can drive to the top of the mountain and then hike around from there. There's tons of overlooks. There's hiking trails that can take you all the way up the mountain if you want. There is a lake on the property that you can rent canoes, kayaks, paddle boating. You can fish, that kind of thing. So that is another option for kayaks. If you bring your kayak and want to go up to the lake, it's a little bit larger than the one at the village. So that's an option. But a beautiful, beautiful area. If nothing else, it's worth driving up to the top of the mountain and to the overlook and just seeing the view, which this picture is taken from the overlook on one side of the mountain. So I would recommend that. Down in Lynch, Kentucky, 10 minutes away, there is a coal mine that you can take a tour of. The coal mine, of course, is closed. It closed down, I think, during the Obama administration. But there is still kind of a tourist attraction here. So basically what they have is a coal mine, and they have a coal mine museum that's three stories in the town of Cumberland right next to Lynch. But it's actually a really interesting and neat museum, a good way to kind of learn the history of the town. There's pictures from back in the day. There's tons of old letters that some of the coal miners wrote while they were down in the mines during their lunch breaks and that kind of thing. Very, very interesting. To kind of see how this town was built and what it was like back in the day. But that's $15 that I believe gets you into the museum, and you can take the train down into the coal mine, and it's actually worth it just to be able to see what it was like down in there, and obviously pitch dark, but it's worth it. And the last thing, if you guys want to check out, I think Scott is going to talk about this ministry. This is another ministry that was the building was donated, and there's a couple, I think they're from Myrtle Beach, but Scott will get into that in a little bit. But they run this coffee shop called Lamp House Coffee that's right across the street from the coal mine. It's a 10-minute drive from Shekinah Village. Just a beautiful little coffee shop, just an incredible couple. They actually might be preparing some of our meals. I don't think we've confirmed that yet, but they may be preparing some of our meals while we're at the village, but we'll be able to get a chance to meet them, hopefully, and hear their story. But again, 10-minute drive from Shekinah Village, really great coffee, great atmosphere, and it's right in the middle of Lynch, Kentucky. So that's the attractions. That's where we're going to be staying. Again, this is literally one of my favorite places in the world to go, one of the most beautiful places, in my opinion. But of course, it's similar to what you see overseas, where you have these just gorgeous, gorgeous places right next to just unbelievable poverty. And Scott's going to get into that and kind of the ministry opportunities we have. But I hope you'll come, because I think this is going to be incredible.
All right, thanks, Caleb. So we learned about Lynch, Kentucky through Feed the Hunger, and Feed the Hunger a few years ago wanted to become more active in food distribution in the United States, and so we put out some feelers about where are some of the areas in our country that could really use some help, and we got directed to this part of the world. And so it is, as Caleb mentioned at the beginning, it's about a 4 hour and 45 minutes to 5 hours for most of us. It's about an hour to hour 15 minute longer drive than what it usually takes us to get to the beach. But we feel it's worth it because the people that God has placed here are just really special. And so we want to have them come in during our breakfast time and maybe lunch and maybe even like during our meal times, similar to like this while we're eating, and we want to hear their testimonies of what God has called them to do. These are all people that were just living normal lives, maybe attended a church trip to this area to help and assist, And then God called them to that area, and they live by faith now fully, which means the only income they get is from donations, and God takes care of all of their needs through that. So some of their testimonies are really fabulous and terrific. And so what makes it special are the people that we'll hopefully meet there and the opportunities to partner with them in future ministry. But Lynch, Kentucky is, it was a town started in the early 1900s, it was named after Thomas Lynch, who at that time was the president and CEO of the U.S. Steel Corporation. So the U.S. Steel Corporation built all these towns in this area, and what they did is they built the towns first and then hired the workers to come in and work the coal mines. So once it was discovered, at its peak, during both World Wars, there were 32 fully operating coal mines. And so people were coming in. They were bringing in two trains a day from Ellis Island. So literally, people came in, cleared immigration, got on a train, and came to this part of the world. And at one point, near I think it was World War II, Lynch, Kentucky had the highest per capita income in the United States of America. And today, there are 36% of the families in this county are living below the poverty level. 36%. And the average family income in this part of the world is $21,000 a year for a family. So it's now flipped, and it's now one of the top five poorest areas in our country. And we got started at Feed the Hunger working here by distributing food through school systems in the area. So that's how we got linked in, and it's branched out. So a couple of the neat ministries that are there. This is kind of the anchor ministry. It's Marizzo Center. It was started by Lonnie and Belinda Riley. And Belinda Riley's actually from Lynch, Kentucky. She grew up there. Lonnie was a famous Baptist preacher, and he pastored the third largest Baptist church, I think, in America, in Missouri somewhere, and had tens of thousands of members. He had three or four vacation homes. He had boats. He was living that type of life as a pastor. And his wife's mother became sick. They came back to this area, and God spoke to them both independently together during that visit of taking care of the mother's estate and the funeral arrangements and stuff to come back there and minister. So they sold or gave everything away. He resigned his spot as pastor, and they've been serving there for the past decade or more, and just living fully by faith. God's provided everything they need. And so what's neat about his philosophy is he believes if God gives him something, it's not meant for him, it's meant for somebody in this area. And so he's very much in sharing freely what God gives him, and he's very much into empowering other folks. And so a lot of the ministries that they've birthed, they've fully turned over, they've spun them out as independent ministries now. So there's a wide breadth of stuff that Marizzo is connected to, but they control very little of it. And that's one of the things I appreciate about them. But their desire is they feed, they clothe, they provide furniture, they repair homes, they provide job. They're very much into job training right now, but job training skills and so forth is a huge work that they do, and we'll get to know some of those people. This is where Feed the Hunger team stay. This was the hospital in Lynch, Kentucky at one point, and it's now a hotel/guest house for folks. And so if we go back up there in teams and so forth, chances are we would be staying in this location. But it's part of the ministry underneath Marizzo, and it's kind of the headquarters where I think it sleeps almost 100 people. And so this is where a lot of the church teams come throughout the summer. They're almost 100% booked. And the ministries come there, or sorry, church teams come there. They're anchored there, and then they go out and help in the surrounding communities. One of the main opportunities that's there is feeding. Through Feed the Hunger, we distribute food. That's our chicken-flavored pasta dish with some cut-up sausage and cheese in it. They made a casserole. And so this is a group. In fact, the lady that's serving it right now, she's a friend of Caleb and I's from Texas. And she just spent the 4th of July week, her family, for their vacation, went to the Lynch area and served the people there. So that's kind of how it's impacted their life and changed really all of them, including her teenage sons. The first time they went to Kentucky was over spring break, and she has a 15-year-old son. And the week after spring break, when school started again, at the end of that week, the teachers contacted her and said, "What did you guys do over spring break? Because your son has changed. He's a completely different person." And so even his teachers recognized the impact that had on him in his life and helping him to grow up in a week's time, so to speak. So there's food opportunities where we can deliver food both hot and serve it in the end of the community. And then also it can be passed out in food boxes or emergency kits. And so this is one of the ministries, Christ's Hands. It's about a 40-minute drive from the Lynch area, and it's where the Feed the Hunger food is stored. And so the gentleman that runs this has planted a church in the upstairs of that. But he runs a food pantry, and so people can come once a month, similar to how our Salvation Army works here in this county, where they can come once a month and receive an emergency food box. And so there's several items placed in there, and we can all be a part of distribution. Again, this isn't for October, it's for another time, it's just some of the opportunities there. So there's construction opportunities, there's passing out food opportunities. The way we got started at Feed the Hunger were with three area elementary schools. In one of those elementary schools, it's not this one, but in one of the elementary schools, every student that goes there qualifies for free breakfast and free lunch. So they're all on free school lunch. Nobody pays. So of the total students, if they are below the poverty level, then they get a weekend backpack stuffed full of Beanie Weenies, fruit cocktail, you know, canned goods, and some of our Feed the Hunger packs are sent home in those weekend backpack programs. And that's how we got started with food distribution in the area. And one of the original three schools, 100% of the students receive a backpack at home on a Friday afternoon. Everyone in the school gets a backpack. So they're all living below the poverty level. So this happens to be, the largest elementary school, the Kaywood Elementary School in the county. But now we are serving our food in all 20 schools in that county are getting food distribution, and so our weekend backpack. And the children have been taught in school, they've been taught how to prepare our backpacks. So they've taken, we'll get to questions in a sec. They've taken some time out of in the classrooms to teach them how to prepare the food and so forth. So this is Eric, and he and his wife Sissy are from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They just came up annually with their church and helped in the area, and then they quit their jobs and they now run the Lamp House Coffee, which was started by Marizzo and turned fully over to these guys. So they're employing, a half a dozen to 10 people in the area. And they share, anybody that comes in there, they're very bold in sharing the gospel with. So it's really a neat ministry for them. They are right across the street from that coal where, like, Caleb took the picture from inside the coal. You can almost see it. And this building is awesome. There's actually a river running underneath of it, and it's open air. So it's built, it's really uniquely designed. You can see all the plumbing underneath. But when you're inside, you are literally over top of a stream that's running underneath of you, and it's directly across the street from the coal mine. It's very interesting. You can see how it was a diner, so the guys would literally come out of the mine, and they could come across there and get something to eat, and it was segregated. So they had one door for blacks to go in, and they had another door for the whites. You can still see all the evidence of that in this, in terms of how the floor was torn up and so forth. So just a neat historical aspect, but neat couple, and they're probably going to be preparing some meals for us. Caleb mentioned the horse opportunities. Now, Shekinah Village and the stables at Creekside Glen, they basically share the same property. And this stables was given to Marizzo this piece of land. Because Lonnie had horses, the one thing he didn't give up when he left were some of his horses. So when he moved to Kentucky, they had four or five horses, and now he's got close to 30 horses. And a gentleman, Drew, is another guy who quit what they were doing. He and his wife, they moved to this area, and they run the stables now. And so it literally shares the same property, and they are sharing Jesus through horses. So every week this summer, and it's happening now, the local kids from the surrounding areas are able to come there for a week-long overnight camp. So they put them up in the accommodations that we'll be staying and so forth, and it's very inexpensive, if not free, to them. It's all through donations. It's funded, and so your family can come up in the summer and help lead and run one of these camps. They welcome assistance and giving these kids that are coming from some really tough backgrounds an opportunity to learn how to horseback ride and have fun that way. So a neat guy. We'll hear from him. So those are some of the ministries. There's a lot more, but I don't want to. Just keep it broad in terms of the different types of things that we can do in the future as both a church body and as individual families, if God so leads. So that's what we're going to be doing in October. We really would challenge you to be there and see what God does in your life, even beyond the men's retreat in that area. So at this point, we'll take some questions. Yes, John. Yeah, in fact, yes, we do. And the guidance counselors there, that's like when we're on site and we can take part in that, we do share the gospel. That's when it goes back to what the question about the fishing license, because Feed the Hunger, we've sent teams up there to do a Christmas the Christmas story presentation in all of the public schools. So the principals don't care. They all have kind of a chip on their shoulder because they're in a part of Kentucky that's sequestered, and so the state just ignores them, forgets about them, but also lets them do whatever they want. And so a lot of these principals are believers, and we've walked the halls with them and prayed for their school. We've been in there and been able to share the gospel pretty freely. I mean, a whole lot more freely than what we could in this area in public school situations. So yes, and Bible studies, yeah, during classroom time, we've had like VBS type situations, during the days. Good question. Any other questions?
So what's the Saturday?
Yeah, exactly right. So we're still putting together exact details, but obviously, if you can take off Thursday and Friday, and we'll leave Thursday morning, there's some consideration. In fact, let's just take an informal poll right now. We've discussed a 15 passenger van to help, and if we need to do two, we'll do two. Is there anybody that would really appreciate that? Like if we met Thursday morning and caravan or carpooled in a 15 passenger van, that you and your sons would take advantage of that, or just you would take advantage of that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so there's probably enough to do one. Some of us are going to drive because you probably saw something on there that you wanted to do, and if you had the flexibility of your own vehicle, the horseback riding, the archery, the fishing, all that stuff can be done in and around the compound. But if you wanted to go to the state park, if you wanted to go into the city to do the tour of the coal mine, we'd have to transport, you'd have to get in the car. So anyhow, so we'll take that closer, but yes, we're going to carpool up there on Thursday. We'll have some free time there on Thursday. I'm going to ask Drew at the stables and Chad if there's anything that we could do, because for the guys to get up there, we could maybe give a couple hours helping them do some of their lawn work and so forth. If they take that, we'll make that offer. But there'll be some free time Thursday afternoon, free time Friday afternoon, and then when we check out and wind things down like we normally do by lunchtime on Saturday, in the past we've had to turn the keys in and be all the way out of the house, but here we won't have to. So if you wanted to stay Saturday afternoon and do some more of this stuff in and around and leave 3, 4, 5 o'clock and, get home at dark time or 9 or 10, you're welcome to do that. So we would just encourage you to be back in time for church Sunday. So any other questions? Yes, right?
Yeah, they have a
Yeah. They have a Loaves and Fishes in Lynch that we've partnered with. There was a, yeah, yeah. So the couple that was running it had to leave the area, and so there was about a month where it was kind of closed. But I think it's now fully open and running. Yeah, new couples come in, and so yeah, there's real close by opportunity. But yeah, even if we get it there, like the Christ Hands is the one we mainly work. But like I said, it's a little bit away from. It's about 30-40 minute drive from the Lynch area, but yeah, if we wanted to do that, that's an opportunity.
What's the subject for the men's retreat?
What is the subject for the men's retreat? I don't think that has been zeroed in on yet and determined. So we'll probably be announcing that in September.
Is there a cost already set for the
person? We think it's going to be. I don't think it'll be more than $60 a person. Normally it's $75 a person, but we're hoping that we can get it closer even to $50. But some of that's going to determine on the amount of people that come and so forth, because the bunkhouses and the cabins is just a per night fee. And so if we have, you know, 20 people divided by that cost, it's more if we have 40 people divided by that cost. So. Yes, meals catered will impact that price. Yes, that's exactly right too. So, if for budgeting purposes, if you did $60, you'd be per person, you'd be within $5 either way, probably. So, all right. Okay, thanks, guys. We'll see you all there in October. Yeah.